comes, you guys can go have a seat, by the way. You know, when it comes to backstage pass, VIP access, you know, we all think of Beverly Hills, right? I mean, everybody wants to see Beverly Hills. Everybody has certain important people that maybe you know or that you would like to know, and you'd like to see what they're really like behind scene. And so we're going to be looking at that today because, you know, the truth is, when it comes to this whole understanding of God, of Jesus, of what the church is really like, some of us feel that same way that Weezer feels right there. Take a look at the lyrics right here. They said, the truth is, it's something you're born into, and I just don't belong. I mean, for many of us, when it comes to God, when it comes to church, when it comes to Jesus, this is how we feel. Like, man, I don't get it. They get it. They're in. There must be something you just are born into, but it's not an all-access kind of thing. And so I want us to look at this today. And by the way, how about Weezer this morning? Weezer has some good things. Yeah, even Weezer has some meaningful things. You know, we're going to take a look at this today and what this means for this community. So before we do that, let's pray. God, I'm praying right now, and I'm thankful. I'm actually thankful that we can do something like listen to a song that we know, something we hear on the radio all the time, and it actually connects with what we're talking about. It actually brings meaning to this whole idea of what it means to know you, what it means to have access to you. And God, I'm thankful that we can come into this place and that you can meet us here. And God, I realize there are people that gather here every week from different walks of life, different spiritual orientations, and I'm thankful that, God, it's not just that we come into this place, but that you actually show up here to see us. And so today, God, as we spend about 50 minutes here in this dark room, as a result of that, I'm going to ask that you in some way would help us to grow, help us to go to a new place, help us to maybe see something that we've never seen before. Pray these things in your name and according to your character. Amen. So, you know, as I begin to think about this whole idea of backstage pass and VIP access, I thought, you know, we have a very diverse group of people here at Crosspoint, right? I mean, it's very diverse, and I realize, it's one of the things I love about Crosspoint, by the way, but I realize that some of our more mature people, I mean, we have some of those here, you know, they may not know what a backstage pass is, all right? And so unless you were at Foreigner or in a Journey last night up at Verizon Wireless, I don't know if anybody was up there, but if you were there, maybe you know what it is, but, you know, if you're hip and young, you know what a backstage pass is. You're like, you know, I want one of those for Justin Bieber. You got any of those? And the more mature people are like, what's a Bieber? I don't know what that is. And so, you know, so I thought it'd be important to clarify so we're all on the same page exactly what a backstage pass really is. And so I went online and you know, you can find anything online, which is sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's not so good. And I went to eHow, and this is what backstage pass is. This is how it was defined on eHow right here. It says an all-access backstage pass allows you to hang around with your favorite musicians to see what it's really like behind the scenes of a big gig. Now, again, for you mature, kind of a little bit of our older crowd, a gig is like a concert or an event, all right? You know, it's what it is. It says you can go anywhere backstage at a show if you have an all-access backstage pass, and they are specific to an individual event. And get this, look at the next line. And they're usually hanging on a lanyard. You've got one of these today, all right? You got it right there. I see you. You have an all-access backstage pass. And so we're giving this to you today. And how cool is that? You got access to all the backstage today. We're going to talk about what that means. Before we go any further, I want to lift up one other thing. A backstage pass is about one thing. It's relational. It's about a relationship. It's about this idea of having access to people that you want to know or that you want to be known by. It's about being able to kind of see, you know, the people behind the scenes, the VIPs, the cool people behind the scenes that are making it happen and being able to see what they're really like behind stage. You know, a couple years ago, I got a backstage pass, actually a pit pass, of course, at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and I was able to go backstage, and one of my friends, he knows one of the team members of Andretti Green Racing, one of my favorite teams, Team Crosspoint, Team Colts, Team Andretti Green. Those are my top three teams right there, and I got to go backstage, and it was really cool. I mean, we got to go into the garages down at the Speedway, and they showed us where they worked on the cars, and this team manager walked us around and showed us some of the finer intricacies of some of the new technology on the car. That was all cool, and, you know, so a lot of people don't get the chance to get that close to a car. I mean, it's just really cool to sit in it and touch it and so on. But I'm like, you know, I'm looking for a little more than that. I mean, I thought my access was going to, like, help me meet some important people. And then it happened. Dario Franchitti came walking around the corner. And I was just like, oh, that's it right here. Got to shake his hand, who's also married to Ashley Judd, by the way, in case you aren't up on these things. And it was really cool. And it was like, that was it. I mean, I wanted to know. I wanted to see what he was like backstage, behind the scenes, in just a normal environment. And so, you know, we like that. We like access to people behind the scenes, people that are popular, people that are special, that are important. And this is not a new thing. In fact, this has been going on for thousands of years, since the beginning of time. However, when it comes to the most special, the most important being ever, I mean, the person that's spanned all generations, that spans the continents of our world, that person being God, for some reason, historically, there has been a difficulty getting access to this person. And so, a matter of fact, in one of the most historically accurate writings ever, the Gospel according to Luke, we see this backstage problem. And so today, I want us to look at this. In Luke chapter 19, I want us to look at this person that wants a backstage pass, and he's having a hard time getting it. Verse 1. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Now, it's important to understand right here. You know, sometimes we read these things, and we read them, but we don't really get them. And so a couple comments. Jesus is going into Jericho, all right? People are not attracted to Jesus right here. This isn't people all following Jesus around. This is Jesus going into a city looking for people right here. It says, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. And so, you know, let me just give a little context right here, because again, we don't always understand what's going on. We have two people in this account right here. We have a guy by the name of Jesus and a guy by the name of Zacchaeus. Jesus was the man. First guy in the scenario here. He's the man. He's doing healings. He's teaching. He's doing amazing things. People are being attracted to him in increased ways. In this case, he's going to find them. And most people are into what Jesus is doing. They're kind of attracted to it. They're drawn to it. And then you have this group of people known as the political elite. And the political elite, they're cool with Jesus. They're like, you know, Jesus, he comes into town. They thought he was like an entertainer. All right, they saw him come in, do these little magic shows where he heals people. And they're like, yeah, we dig that. We're good with that. As long as his agenda doesn't get a political, we're good with whatever he's doing. And then you had another section of people, which were the religious elite. And they really weren't into what Jesus was doing. They didn't dig him at all. They didn't dig the people he hung out with. In fact, they didn't even like the ways he interpreted the scriptures. And so you had this group of people. But 80% of the people, 80-85% of the people, the majority, they were into what Jesus was doing. They were attracted to him. They saw what was happening. They said, hey, we want to see this guy. We want to see this person for who he really is, which makes me wonder sometimes. You know, because when you present the person Jesus that we see in the Bible, I mean, people want to see this guy. I don't know why. I know sometimes we get it wrong and people all over the world get it wrong, but when you just authentically present the person of Jesus in the Bible, I mean, there's something about it that we're drawn to. So you have Jesus on one hand. The other person you have is Zacchaeus here. And on the outside, man, Zacchaeus looks like he's got it all going on. I mean, he's wealthy. By our standards, he's the kind of person we would aspire to be. He's a tax collector. But he's not just a tax collector. He is the tax collector, which means he's the boss. He's the chief. And some of you are like, man, I wish I was the boss. I mean, being the boss is great. Let me tell you, being the boss is good sometimes. But it also being the boss means you get all the problems. Eventually, they all come, filter through you. And so, so he's the boss. And not only is he the boss and does he have career advancement, but look at what it says. It says he's rich. He is wealthy. And the truth is, that's what most people think the American dream is right there. That's what we aspire to be. We say, man, I want to be rich. That's what our dream is. By our standards, we would have lifted him up. We would have said, man, this is the kind of person that you should aspire to be. He's wealthy. He's on top of his game. He's the boss. Except there's one problem. He's a tax collector. And I'm not talking like an IRS tax collector. I'm talking. He is a traitor in his own country to his own people. He goes out this means he robs his fellow countrymen. As these invaders, the Romans, came into his country, they begin to collect taxes, and he worked for them. And he would rob his fellow countrymen of their money, and then he would take a whole big chunk on top of what he had to give to the invaders, the Romans, and he would keep that for himself. And the Romans, they didn't care. They didn't really like him all that well, but they're like, hey, he's doing our dirty job. He's keeping us wealthy. He's getting wealthy on his own because he's taking a cut off the top for himself, but we're good with that because it's all working out and we're all rich. And so as you can imagine, I mean, people are irate over this. They despise Zacchaeus. I mean, in fact, people, if they would see him coming toward them, they would literally take a linear three block detour. They would take a block over and up and around just so they wouldn't have to pass this guy by in the street. And if they did meet him face to face, they'd literally spit in his face. I mean, he was the most despised individual of the community. And so you talk about somebody who's friendless, somebody who's totally disconnected, somebody who's totally out on their own. I mean, this is Zacchaeus right here. He's a traitor to his own people. And the other thing, so you have Jesus, you have Zacchaeus, and then this other deal is that Zacchaeus is short, all right? It's just kind of a random detail. It's kind of important. So verse 3 says, he wanted to see who Jesus was, But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. Now, something that's really fascinating to me is I've noticed something about people. I've noticed that about 99% of people are actually, they're at least interested. They're open to taking a genuine look at who the person Jesus is. And sometimes I think, what's the barrier? What's the thing that hinders them? Maybe it's us sometimes. Maybe it's church folk, church people. Sometimes maybe we make it into so much that we actually hinder people from seeing the person of who Jesus really is. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. Since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And so this is really fascinating right here. What's interesting about this is you see, Zacchaeus thought he was going to see Jesus. And what we see right here is Jesus is actually showing up in Jericho to come see Zacchaeus. It's fascinating to me. You know, I want to say, I know we gather in this room for a variety of reasons. I mean, there's a lot of reasons you come in here. Maybe you're here for the first time, and you're like, man, I heard they had a smoking hot band, and I want to come see that band, or I heard they've got some great coffee, and here they got this funny-looking guy that stands up and talks for a while, and, you know, whatever your reason, you know, these are all reasons you might come in here, but let me just say, for whatever reason you came here today, let me just say that Jesus actually showed up for a different reason. He came to see you. And that's what Jesus does. He shows up because he wants to see us. And so Jesus says, right, he says, "Zacchaeus, take a look right there. It says, I must come stay at your house today." Now, maybe you've heard those words recently. All right, we think we got a call asking for those words recently. Maybe your in-laws came through town. They're like, "Hey, we're in the area. We need a place to stay. We're not really asking. We're saying we need to come stay at your house today." Or maybe you invited somebody over for a barbecue, and you're like, "Why did we even do that? We don't even really like these people, and yet it's a socially like correct thing to do." You know, we'll do things like that, right? Not in this culture. Not in this culture. In this culture, when you invite someone into your house, you're literally saying to them, you know, something very strong. I mean, when you invite somebody into your house, if somebody comes after that person to hurt them, you will put your family in harm's way in order to protect your guest. That, I mean, when you invite somebody into your home, you're basically saying, this relationship is stronger than family. They're like family to me. Right, so we see right here, we see that the Zacchaeus, Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, I must come stay with you today." And the church folk, you know, the church folk, they all of a sudden, you know what they begin to do right here? Yeah, they begin to do this. They, you know, now, religious peeps, I like church folk, all right? I mean, I've grown up with that, but sometimes I get annoyed with church folk, all right? I'm just going to be honest with you. What this is saying right here is saying everybody, the tall people, the short people, the, you know, the people that think they have it all together, the good people, the bad people. Look at what verse 7 says right here. It says all, meaning everyone, all the people saw this and they began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." You know what this means right here? It means they began to complain. This is what it looked like today. They'd be like starting tweeting, they'd be IMing, they'd be texting, like, "Can you believe? No, he didn't. Can you believe Jesus went to his house?" I mean, this thing would create a social media explosion right here. I mean, they began to mutter, they began to complain. Isn't what social media is mainly for? I mean, isn't that what a lot of people use it for, to kind of slam on people? I mean, this would have created an explosion. I mean, church people, like, "Can you believe he went to be the guest of a sinner? I mean, how dare he go to his house?" They're tweeting this all over the place right here. I mean, this is what they're doing right here. And then all of a sudden, you know, we have this reality. Let me just be clear right here. You know, this is how we believe this, to understand like where we fit into this whole deal. You know, we believe that if you're not perfect, you're a sinner. Right? And you might be sitting there thinking, "Well, I'm pretty close, and I'm not, and if you just thought that, then you lied, and so you just joined the club. So you're a sinner, just like the rest of us, all right? And this is Jesus basically saying, he could say that to any one of us, "Hey, I'm coming to your house today." But for some reason, everybody saw this guy like, man, he's the master, he's the chief, he's the worst of them all. And so Zacchaeus, take a look at what he says here in verse 8. It says, "Zacchaeus stood up, and he said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here I am now. I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount.'" Now, this is fascinating right here because, tell you what, I've encountered Jesus in multiple ways in my life. I mean, there's been this continual renewing of my life. And I don't know that I could do that. I mean, now, I don't have that much, so maybe it wouldn't be that hard. I don't know. But you know, look what he says. He says, "If I've cheated anybody," and you're all going, oh, boy, I don't know that I'd ever want to say that if I've cheated anybody. And he goes on and says, "If I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back four times." And what's fascinating right here is that, you know, when people have a genuine encounter with the person Jesus, It changes them. I mean, they're changed people. I mean, meeting Kurt Walters, you know, here at Cross Point, you know, jamming with PJ Tal in the house band, drinking our coffee, watching cool videos, you know, hanging around this place, this is not going to change you. But when you come into an encounter, when you come into this love relationship with this Jesus, the person Jesus, it's a love relationship, not because it's all all gooey and like romance novel-ish, not because of that, because there's this God who all we ask of people that walk in here for the first time is that you're open to the possibility that there's a God who loves and pursues you. I mean, maybe you've never thought of God that way, not as a God to heap moral commands on you, not as a God to heap a whole bunch of restrictions, but a God who just runs after you to simply love on you, and it's scandalous because you don't deserve it. There's nothing you can do to earn it, and yet all you can do is receive it, accept it. And so when we actually encounter that, it begins to change us. I mean, it's just what begins to happen. Story continues, verse 9. It says, Jesus said to him, today, right now, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. And right here, I mean, I love this next verse. In fact, this is probably one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible right here. In fact, if you're a guest around here, you maybe been here a few times or today's your first day and you're just kind of wondering, you know, what's this place about? What makes this place tick? This is it right here. Read this next verse and you'll get a really clear picture of what we're about here at Cross Point. He says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. I mean, that's it. It's that simple. Now, I want to make three quick observations, kind of, because I want to get you out of here on time. Now, observation number one, and there's something hindering Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus clearly. And so observation number one is this thing hindering him, the first thing that's hindering him is his circumstances. Zacchaeus was short, all right? He couldn't change that. He couldn't control that he was born short. Listen, I love basketball. I was the captain of my basketball team my senior year of high school. I'm short, I'm slow, and I can't jump. All right, and as much as I trained, I could not change those things. And so, you know, I could complain about that, but it's just a reality of life. You know, you can't control the family you're born into. You can't control the color of your skin. Can't control the gifts or the talents that have been given to you. Zacchaeus was short. He couldn't control his height. And here's the problem right here. Some of us have faced circumstances in our life that we feel like, man, this circumstance has caused me, it's hindered me from being able to see who Jesus really is. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I've experienced a bunch. I'll tell you a few. When I was the age of 11, I began a pornography addiction, a porn addiction that began to take over my life. And you might say, well, you really chose that. At the age of 11, you don't choose those things. It's something I stumbled upon with some friends and had no idea the magnitude of how this thing would get a hold of my life. And then that would be the filter through which I looked for the next 10 or 12 years of my life. I mean, it's an amazing thing. It was a circumstance, and it began to change everything. I had a hard time seeing who Jesus was through that. When I was 16, I lost one of my closest friends and teammates to a head-on car accident. And you talk about, you know, being at a really important season of life and losing a friend. Struggled seeing Jesus clearly through a circumstance that was totally outside of my control. At the age of 32, you know, grown adult, you get the news from my parents that they're divorcing. And you know, sometimes I hear people say, man, we're going to hold this thing together until we get the kids out of the house. And, you know, it's easier. Then let me tell you what, it's never easy. Never easy. If you've been a casualty or collateral damage, experienced that out of divorce, let me just say, it's painful. It doesn't matter if you're 3 or if you're 32. And in this case, not only was my dad my father, but he was my pastor. I was working for him. And so, you know, the pain, I had difficulty seeing Jesus clearly through these circumstances that I was experiencing at that time. I don't know, call me crazy. Is anybody else? You know, think about it. Have you ever been in a scenario where you're like, man, these circumstances, I'm having a hard time seeing Jesus clearly right here. It's what happened. Zacchaeus, he wanted to see Jesus. He was short and he couldn't. He couldn't change that. Observation number two, our choices. Our choices. Sometimes our choices prevent us from seeing Jesus clearly. Zacchaeus, he wanted to get through the crowd. He wanted to weasel through this mass of people that had lined the roads. And remember, people did not like him. He robbed him. He cheated him. He's trying to make his way through. Excuse me. Can you let me through? Do you think they wanted to help him? I mean, you know what they want to do? They want to like put him down. They want to give him like an upper right and like lay him out. They couldn't stand the guy. I mean, his choices, he made some bad, bad choices that are hindering him, literally, from being able to see Jesus. I've made myself, I don't know about you, I've made some really bad moral choices, I've made some bad, horrible choices that have caused me to struggle to see Jesus at times. Does this sound familiar? I don't know if you've ever been in that place where you feel like you've made choices where maybe somebody's told you, like, man, because of where you've been and what you've done, man, there's no way you can see Jesus. There's no way you can encounter or experience that. Observation number three, this is my favorite one. This one I love. This is what wakes me up every morning right here, is this right here, that Jesus wants to know us. Regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our choices, here's the deal. Jesus is on a rescue mission. He's on a rescue mission. He said, hey, I've come on a mission. I've come to seek and save what was lost. And what this means is Jesus left the comfort of heaven. Remember your backstage pass right here hanging around your neck? He said, I gave you a backstage pass. I left the comfort of heaven, came down, lowered myself down in the form of flesh and love, in the form of a little crying, little snotty little child, in the form of a baby, and I came so that you could see what God's really like and have access to me. He says, you have a backstage pass. He said, that's the reason I'm here. I came to seek and save that which was lost so that you could see what God is really like. And at Crosspoint here, we're about two things, two big things. The first one is to love God or help people see that God, that we're created to love God and in a bigger sense for us to experience the love of God. Not a God who heaps moral commands, it's God who just runs after us relentlessly because he simply wants to love on us and know us. And then secondly, after we've experienced that, we're called to love others. Why? Because there are other people all around us that need to see Jesus clearly, and they need to see that through your life. Those are the two big things. It's what we're about. And you might say, well, why are you about those things? Well, because that's what Jesus was about. It was his mission, plain and simple. And if you're not cool with that, that's cool. I don't need everybody to be cool with it, but I just want to be crystal clear. This is what drives everything we do out of this place right here. So what solved the crisis? We got a crisis here. We got Zacchaeus who could not see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. He couldn't see him. There's something hindering him from seeing Jesus. And you might be thinking, what's the solution here? Do we miss it? I mean, when we read this passage, do we miss it? I mean, it must be mind-blowing, right? It must be earth-shattering. What is it? It isn't. It's simple. It's ordinary. The solution to Zacchaeus being able to see Jesus for who he really is was found in the simple and the ordinary. It was a tree. The tree was the backstage pass for Zacchaeus. I mean, an ordinary, simple tree. A tree saying, hey, a tree isn't fancy. It was simple. This tree saying, hey, here I am. I'm just standing here. Got my limbs out. I got my roots going down in the ground. Got some pretty planted here. I'm not going anywhere. Just a simple, ordinary tree that allowed Zacchaeus to have access to see this Jesus for who he really is. And at Crosspoint, that's what we're about right there. Plain and simple. In fact, you know, we're here to help people see and try to remove the layers so people can just experience it in some way. And so I believe we have a video here, and this is going to give you a short little snippet of two of our areas in children and our student areas of how every week this happens through people here at Crosspoint. Take a look.